you have experienced in recent days of varying intensities of rainfall. And we know that in the winter season is one of the rainy seasons that we experience. And heavy rain, such as we have seen sometimes in recent days, yields the astonishing greening of the land. We know that most of the year the landscape bears the aspect of muted tones of brown and tan. So it becomes remarkable when we see the impact of winter rain in the fresh growth of plants, wild plants, grasses, and other plants. Those who live around the desert the whole year know, however, that this green that we now observe will not last. That before too many weeks or months have passed, the typical color of the desert will return. The temperature will begin to rise. I know that there are people here who don't wish for such a prospect, but our experience shows us it's going to happen. The temperature will rise, the moisture will evaporate from the soil, and the brilliant green of the plants fades away. Now, there are some plants, like the cacti, that have extensive root systems, and those plants tap moisture that lies deeper in the soil. But the plants that have only lately appeared on the surface of the desert will turn pale and wilt in the searing heat of the summer sun. And it doesn't take very long. That was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the parable of the sower. He described the action of the sower who sought to cast the good seed into the good ground. No farmer is wasteful of his seed. So he sought to cast the good seed into the good ground. But Jesus said as he sowed the seed, some of it fell on the hardened wayside soil, and other seed fell into soil that, from outward appearance, was as good as the cultivated soil. It was stony soil, but it was soil. And the seed that fell there became established in that apparently good soil. It germinated. It began to grow, just as the seed did that fell into the good ground. The plant in the stony soil seemed to be flourishing, seemed to be doing even better at that point than the plants in the good ground. But Jesus said that as the heat of the sun began to affect that tender plant in the stony soil, the plant began to show signs of distress. It had no deep source of moisture or sustenance. Meanwhile, in the good ground, the plants continued to grow and even to flourish. But the plant in the rocky soil began to droop. Its color became dull, and the edges of the leaves turned dark and curly. Before very long, the plant that showed so much promise was a dried up stalk with its leaves crumbling into dust. When Jesus expounded the meaning of the parable to his disciples, he reminded them, in particular in this part of the parable, that appearances are often deceptive. It is true in the spiritual realm. Jesus spoke of those who hear the word of God and seem to be excited about it. The language in the passage is anon with joy they receive it. They seem to be excited about it to such an extent that others whose response is less excited seem to be disappointing. Those are the ones that are in the good soil, in the good ground. But when the time of testing comes, those who appeared to receive the word initially with gladness show that they have no real root in themselves. And very quickly, they return to their former ways with the renewed desire to serve themselves. The message is, there are those who appear to be genuine converts to Christ, and believers may encourage themselves concerning them. But after a short time, when persecution arises because of the word, those people lose interest and fade away. They heard the word of God with enthusiastic interest, but there is nothing beyond emotion. This part of the parable then highlights the theme of profession without possession. Profession without possession. Jesus taught his disciples in this parable, in this part of it in particular, that the first response of a person to the word of God is not as important as the last. True faith in Jesus Christ is not something that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So there's no such thing. I've said this truth on many occasions. There's no such thing as someone who was at one time a Christian. This part of the parable depicts the tragedy of those who associate themselves for a time with the Word of God, but have no enduring interest in it. There were many. And I believe it is a sobering portion of God's word that depicts there were many who followed the Lord Jesus for a time while he walked in this world. They had a carnal attraction to Christ. It was a great show. There were tangible benefits. But the excitement that developed around him did not last. And then came the time when the hard truths of God's word left those people downcast. If you turn to John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 66, actually, we will get the context in verse 64. There are some of you, he was saying to them, the people who were following him, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, they couldn't take the hard truth of the word of God. Jesus said in this parable that we cannot measure the reality of any person's faith by first appearances. This part of the parable is about the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. True faith endures. True faith lasts. In the hard times, when everything seems to be collapsing around you, if you have true faith, it will remain. You will never renounce Christ. So we face again today the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ that we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, from the same context as the parable of the sower, and verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed, pay attention, be watchful how ye hear. It's easy to hear the word of God on the surface. There are people who listen to the idea that they can be Christians, that is, profess faith, and still continue to enjoy the life of the world to the fullest. But we learn in this part of the parable that there is always an afterwards. There's always a reckoning. There's always a time of testing. Whether it's in the area of your health or your job or your financial situation or your family situation or your country's situation, there's always a time of testing. It's important then to take heed how you hear the word of God. Now there are three key truths in Christ's exposition of this part of the parable. And let us focus our attention on those things today. First of all, the easy effect. The easy effect. Jesus said that the people whom the rocky soil, the stony soil represents, have heard the word. And that's the universal truth throughout the parable. Every one of these soils represents people who hear the word. It's a universal truth. Everyone heard the word. And what word is that? It's the word of the kingdom. It's the word of the gospel. And what is the content of that message? Well, when we boil it down, it comes to that which Jesus taught, Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, here's his message, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That is, Jesus, in his word, called people to repent of their sin. And he did so, stressing the character of those to whom he preached. In John's gospel, there's reference to the fact that he would not commit himself to any person because he knew what was in those people. What did he know? He knew that in every person there was total depravity and unspeakable wickedness. He knew what was in man. Now we learn in Scripture that the law of God has a distinct purpose. Paul spoke of that purpose in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That is, the law of God takes all the disguises off that we like to fashion, all the fig leaves off, and makes sin appear what it is. So the Word of God that Jesus described as being the seed, that word convicts of sin and reveals the extent of depravity. That is, the Word of God shows you what you would be capable of doing if the restraint of divine grace were not there. Now, throughout the history of our church, we have been witnessing the changes in the society and the culture around us. And we've seen what happens when restraints are removed. The flood of moral corruption that is around us testifies to the awful wretchedness and rebellion that marks every unregenerate heart. What have we witnessed? We have witnessed not only the toleration, but also the glamorization of that which previous generations knew was abominable. From the redefinition of adultery to the endorsement of homosexuality, or sodomy as the Bible calls it, now the growing acceptance of transgenderism, which is a defiance of the very principle that we find in God's Word, that God made them at the beginning male and female. The Word of God, the Word of the kingdom of which Jesus spoke in this parable, is in opposition to all those trends. It is the Word that calls for repentance. People must turn away from their sins. People must put their faith only and completely in Jesus Christ. This is the Word, then, that presents Christ as the only Savior and the blood of Christ as the only means of redemption. That is, there's no help in good works. There's no dependence upon that which we do that might be considered good. It is Christ and Christ alone. Christ crucified, buried, risen, ascended, and coming again. That's what this word is concerning. If you don't want the reproach of the cross, the reproach of separation from the world, then you don't want God's salvation. So in the stony soil, Jesus said, as he explained the parable to his disciples, there is an easy reception of the word. Those who hear the word do so with joy. They do so with gladness. Oh, this is something different. They've never heard such a message before. And Jesus was saying there are many who respond in that fashion. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, we read of one particular case. Mark chapter 6. And verse 20. But Herod, this is Herod Antipas, not the same Herod who was alive at the time of the birth of Jesus. Herod feared John the Baptist, that is, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, He did many things and heard him gladly. Herod heard the word. And we learn here that he heard the word gladly. With joy he heard it. And when Jesus spoke of John's ministry in general, he spoke in these same terms. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And verse 34. In the context, Jesus was referring to John the Baptist. Verse 34, Jesus said, "But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Notice the emphasis there. For a season you were willing to rejoice. So this response, this initial response, Jesus said, is the easy part. It's the easy effect. But then Jesus pointed out the problem. And that's the second thing that we observe here. The dangerous defect. The easy effect, the dangerous defect. Because Jesus said that those whom this rocky soil represents have no root in themselves. That is, they lack moisture. Turn again to the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And verse 6, "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture." In verse 13 of that same chapter, Jesus said, "They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." That is, the highlight here is that there's emotion, there's a response, but no impact on the will. That is, there's a show of religiosity, a show of repentance. But the Apostle Paul makes it plain in his second epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, that there is a danger with the appearance of this emotion. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So the warning here was to beware of what only appears to be real. One of the incidents in the life of Paul to which I have often referred concerns Paul's interview with the Roman official Felix. And I want to direct your attention back to that incident in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. You know the chapter content in Acts. You know that Acts 24 is associated with Felix, and Acts 25 with Festus, and Acts 26 with Agrippa. In Acts 24, Paul appears before Felix. And we read in verse 24 that after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That is, he wanted Paul to come and to talk to him about the faith in Christ. Felix, we read in verse 22, had more perfect knowledge of that way. That is, the way of Christ, the way of Christianity, the faith of Christ, the faith in Christ. That was not a foreign concept to Felix. So Paul came and preached regarding the faith in Christ. And we read in verse 25, "And as he," that is Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Verse 26, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, a bribe, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." The word commune is the word from which we get our word homiletics, which is the art of preaching. He communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Felix heard the word, and like that stony soil, he received the seed of the word, and he heard the word, and he received it with joy. He trembled. There was emotion. But never the work of regeneration. And without regeneration, there's no root of Christ in you. So Felix, having heard the word and received it with a certain amount of joy, having some more perfect knowledge of that way, after 2 years, left Paul in custody. Think of the people who heard the Lord Jesus Christ with their ears when he was in this world, who followed him for a time. I often think about these people. They actually heard Jesus speak, but they did not believe. They rejoiced at the things that he said and the things that he did, particularly if they benefited directly by them, such as having a meal. But they did not continue with him. That is, they had no roots. And we read in Mark's version of this event, Mark chapter 4, what the tragedy is. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time." Then this key word, afterward. Afterward. "When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And that brings us to the third aspect of our text today. The ruinous rejection. Afterwards. Afterwards. It always comes. Those who are with Christ will always face the heat of the day. Paul wrote those words to Timothy, "Yea, notice the language, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That is, there's going to be a trial. There's going to be difficulty. If you live for Christ in this perverse generation, you are going to feel the heat of the day. The Apostle Peter spoke about this reality in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Peter's saying this was what characterized our lives. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. That is, here are the people of the world. They think that you are weird because you don't do what they do. You don't get yourself drunk. You don't go down the street, if you lived in a place where it would be legal to do so, and obtain marijuana so that you can get high. People look at you and they think, what is wrong with you? You are weird. That's what Peter meant when he said, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, and they speak evil of you. The point that Jesus made in this parable was that when there is no pressure, when there is no heat, it's easy to believe on Christ. But when the pressure comes, then the reality becomes apparent. And what did Paul write about Demas? Those words are also in 2 Timothy 4. After the words where Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Just two verses later, we hear him saying, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Because he loved the present world. So Demas was one of those in the stony soil. It appeared he was flourishing. But persecution arose. Paul was going to be put to death. And Demas forsook him. What's the message of our Lord in this parable? True faith in Christ perseveres. It endures. So that you need to be sure today that you're among those who have that deep conviction in your heart that you belong to Christ and that Christ belongs to you. The words that we encounter in the 92nd Psalm are most appropriate as we come to a close today. Psalm 92. I'd like to dwell on these words, Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm trees that we see around here, they have a deep root system. They call it a tap root. It goes way down, so that it gets moisture from deep below the ground. The righteous shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Here's the testimony of those who were not in the stony soil. even in their old age, they bring forth fruit. Even in their old age, they are flourishing as those who testify to the saving power of the grace of God. True faith in Christ endures. Let us then take to heart the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It governs us not only in ourselves, but it governs us in how we perceive those around us. We're glad when people make a profession of faith, but we know well the Demas principle, if we may call it that. And so we do not conclude that God has worked there in a lasting way. There is always the challenge to keep on, to go on. That's the echo of the message from last Lord's Day. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The words of our motto text for this year. Let us continue on. Let us persevere. Let us be wary of that which appears for a little time and then vanishes. This is the word of Christ to the disciples. It was a word of warning to them. Don't take at face value what you see. Wait to see the evidence of the work of God in your heart. There is a profession that has no possession. And that profession that has no possession leads to hell as surely as the life that has no profession at all. So here is the warning of Christ in the parable of the sower for us today. And Jesus said to them, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Take heed how you hear.